Chris Hubbard is in studio with us. His wife Tamara is with us as well. How are you both today? Good to see you.
We're doing good. Good to be here.
Yes, and you know, you're here obviously, and we're going to talk some football also, but for a really important reason. You know, nowadays, I feel like it's just starting to become acceptable to talk about mental health issues. You've talked about it publicly. Kevin Love here has talked about it publicly. DeMar DeRozan did it, you know, and there's this stigma. I don't know why I talk about going to therapy on the air. I think all people should be, you know, I mean, I guess if you want to keep it private, but nobody should be ashamed of wanting to get help. Right, guys?
I really agree with you on that. When you come out and just talk about it, and you're really trying to get that peace of mind, that therapy, that's when you're like breaking the silence, when you're coming out of your shell and you're starting to understand what may be going on with you. So you're always able to, when you get it out, you feel a lot better, you know, as opposed to like keeping everything in.
Tamara, how about you?
Yeah.
I agree. I think there's so much stigma surrounding, first of all, men even expressing themselves. You know, that as teammates, they kind of, I think they joke and play to try to get rid of some of that tension, but they really do need to talk to somebody because nobody knows the struggles of what they go through mentally to be able to perform the way they do every single week. And in performing, there's, you know, critics saying the exact opposite of what they needed to hear that day to, you know, to have a better practice or to have a better game.
Right.
So all those things, but you're taught as men that, you know, you kind of suck it up. Your man, deal with it.
Right.
And that's just not fair because everyone does need help at some point in some kind of way. And a lot of times it's better that it's someone who's not close to you, someone who you can be completely honest with because you're not worried about hurting their feelings. So I think therapy is probably the best for anyone, not only them, but everybody.
Right. Yeah,
Chris, I was watching the video. It was about a 12-minute video about you going back to your old high school. And that was really touching. And you talked about, you know, some tragedy that you with friends and when you were a kid and talking to the kids now. That had to be great. Did you get good feedback on that from the kids you spoke to at your old high school?
Oh, yeah. The kids were really into it, man. They kind of opened up their eyes and everything. And they came to me afterwards, you know, asking questions on how can I get help if anything tragic may happen in my life, because a lot of tragic happens around in my neighborhood in my city in Columbus, Georgia, you know. So it's always able to when they saw me come back, they were excited, you know what I mean? So for me to do that to them and show them that I care and show them and give them some knowledge can stop them from anything that they may do in their life, you know what I mean? Suicide, any kind of mental breakdown, anything like that. I was just so happy to see that they took heed in what I was saying. So it was amazing. It was an amazing journey.
You guys talk about this in the locker room with the Browns? I mean, you guys, and it is 2019. It's different than it was. I mean, it's been 10 years since I played, so locker rooms have changed, I'm sure. I mean, the stigma is not quite as bad as it was once was. Now guys talk about it, so I'm curious how the locker room is now.
Most guys do talk about it, you know, like mentally how the game is like maybe causing towards them or maybe they might have a bad week mentally as far as like, oh, man, this game is going to be tough with the opponent that we might face. Anything that goes on in the locker room, man, we always talk about it, like especially like the O-line, man. We're a pretty close group, and that's how we got to play together, you know. So I think now that everything that's going out and into the world, people are able to talk about it now, so we talk more.
You worry? I always worry in these situations that, like, a lot of the coaches are very old school, right? And they probably hate all these rules on concussions. And there's probably an attitude from a lot of coaches in the NFL, it's just my guess without knowing, is that they're like, yeah, these guys are soft or like suck it up. Maybe not necessarily with the Browns, but is that something that is a concern around the league?
I don't think so. Okay. I think for the game, man, you have to have that, you know, that, and I love the old school coaching.
Okay.
Because I had an old school coach previous amount of years. So, When you hear those guys say that, you know, most of them, they're joking around, and you don't think about it as hard as they say it is. So you know, you chalk it up to the game.
We're talking with Chris Hubbard, his wife Tamara. Tamara, you guys are the spokespersons for NAMI.org, the National Alliance of Mental Illness. You also are working on something else that you wanted to talk about as well.
Yes, I just wanted to bring more awareness to infertility in families. That kind of ties in, well, it really, really does tie in with mental health as well. It was something that we personally struggled through, and it's probably our biggest struggle together as far as mental health. With me being unable to get pregnant for a very, very long time. And with infertility, a lot of people suffer in silence and people don't know it.
Yeah.
Especially when you see so many people having babies, you just think it's simple.
Yes.
And that's just the way things work. And we always have this plan. We had this plan coming into it. You know, this is what we do. You plan out 5 years. You look up and, yeah, we got the married part, we're in love part, but the baby just isn't coming. And for us, it was around the same time that he was coming into the league. So he's having to deal with learning football, grown man's football.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time that we're figuring out that, hey, there may be something wrong with one of us, the reason that we're not getting pregnant. As a woman, it was hard on me because that was our plan. I was going to be wife and mom, is what I've always wanted to do.
Right.
But then you look up in this 2 years and you're like, wait, I haven't even gotten pregnant and I should be. So it's just a lot of, I think, people who can't say it because we sound ungrateful.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. So, and that's how I've been made to feel. People say, well, why are you even so depressed about not having a baby? You have an amazing husband who he's afforded you this great life. I'm grateful to God for that. I would never do anything to change any of it. But why am I not allowed to dream more? Why am I not allowed to, you know, have a child for my child, my husband to have a legacy? Why are we not allowed to have that just because we do have these other great things? And I think that's where it's so much stigma. So it's taboo to even talk about it because you're supposed to be grateful for life.
Yeah.
And especially in the NFL. So that's how it is as a wife in the NFL. I'm not really allowed to complain. Because we live the life,
and that's silly that you would it not is. Be allowed to complain. As my therapist once said to me, because I was once complaining to my therapist about something, and I said, "You know what? I got a pretty good life. I shouldn't complain about it." She said to me, and this is great advice that everybody should take: there's always somebody that's got it worse. There's always somebody that's got it better. It doesn't mean you can't complain,
true.
Right? I mean, no matter you're not complaining about everything in your life. You're complaining about one thing that's really sad and unfortunate. And especially in a society where people are always asking people, oh, are you going to have a baby? Yes. You're going to have a baby? And I'm sure that put additional pressure on you. And
I always tell people, people put so much pressure on my uterus, I used to think that's the reason I couldn't get pregnant. I didn't think it was a medical issue. I'm like, really? Because when we decided we were getting married, it was like before we could even get married, the first question was, with the baby. So
there's a lot of pressure from families and all that.
And we're from the South where
Big family.
Yeah. Like, you know, so that's just the way it works. Like I said, that's our layout. You know, but for me, my personal plan was always to wait it out,
get married.
Find the love of my life, get married. Okay, we play around for a year and then we just start having all these babies. Mm. You know, so that because that's how we were raised. We were family based. At the end of it all, we always say you're always gonna have family. But then you look up and realize that, wait a minute, not only am I away from my support system, but I'm not able to create our own little family. Right. And at the same time, your family's asking you, so when's the baby coming?
Right.
The world asks you because I guess they don't have any other questions they could ask a person that just got married.
And the most pressure coming from so many angles.
Yeah, because I guess marriage is so terrible that they're thinking you need to add a person to that. So you know, where's that baby?
Yeah.
You know, and on top of that, you have plenty of people. For me, it was hurtful to see so many people who could have babies back to back.
Right.
The ones that didn't want them, the ones that did. That
hurts the most. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
It hurts to watch. And that's what, as women, again, we're not allowed to say that either. I hate to have, that's a true feeling for me. I resented women who could just have babies or even these really young girls who are being rewarded on TV for having babies back to back, you know, and here I am struggling.
Right.
You know, so I'm not, but no one talks about it, and you'd be surprised when we go. We went to the clinic, how many men and women of every ethnicity is affected by this.
Trying to have a baby.
Right, sure.
Yes, and you just automatically assume because you're stuck in your world that, you know, it's just something I'm dealing with. Nobody, no other women in my family had any issues. Yeah, so I'm thinking, oh, yeah, and I can't talk to it to them. Because
as you said, you blame yourself, even though it's not your fault, of course. Right. It's, you know, it is what it is.
There's a brokenness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and none of the women in my family had fertility issues.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to understand if you haven't been through it. It's hard to understand. Some people are just like, well, you know, you can live a happy life without a baby. You can adopt.
That's
you know,
one of the other
that's
things.
The biggest thing they say. And it's like, and that, and I'm not against adoption. I think that's beautiful. But for some people, I'm one of those people, it was important to me to experience the full experience. I wanted to have my husband's baby. I wanted to have our baby. Yeah. You know, so, and because you're always hit back with things like that. It's a constant thing where you're like, you know what? I'll just deal in silence because who can I talk to when everybody has an answer except for the right one, you know? So now that I've kind of started talking about it, I've realized how many people just seriously within our little 6 degrees of life are dealing with it. And
seriously,
they didn't know that we did because we were blessed to eventually have a baby from doing fertility treatments.
IVF.
Yeah, but I
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. He's
amazing.
He
how
is.
Old is he?
He's 3.
He just turned 3.
Yeah.
He's probably he's a Sour Patch
kid.
I know he's great. He's everything great about both of us and everything bad about me.
If he's here right now, he'd probably say dog check.
Like, yeah.
You know, literally.
So you have this perfect little being. And I don't want people to feel like I've jumped off the bandwagon because I had a baby, because you never forget.
So if people are struggling in silence. Right now, what should they do?
Right now, you can, first of all, with fertility, so much of it is about mental and physical health.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know it. Start with your doctor. A regular practitioner. Like, I'm not saying go to a fertility clinic, because for a lot of people, immediately you're thinking it's expensive. Start there. Go to therapy. You'd be surprised with how much in women our bodies deal with physically. The things that we deal with, they manifest physically. So it prevents us from being pregnant.
Yeah.
Get healthy is the very first thing. Once you're healthy, then you have this protocol that you go through that I will not bore you with. But, you know, you may figure out that you don't even need to do the things that we've done. You know, we had to do it. It took us about 4 years.
Yeah.
But that may not be you. It starts with talking to someone, opening up, saying, you know what? Most people don't know that in order for you to be considered infertile, if you're under 35 and you've had unprotected sex for a year, you're considered infertile. If you're 35 and over, for women, if you have had unprotected sex for 6 months, you're infertile.
Yeah.
Those are small facts that people don't know and we don't consider, because now we're also in a generation where people are deciding, you know what, I'm going to wait a little bit longer to have babies.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, I'm not going to just start popping them out at 18 when our parents were married at 16 kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So that changes. Your body changes.
No doubt.
You have less eggs. Things that people, just educate yourself on your body.
Sure.
Keep up with it. And that's for men, too. A lot of times, one-third of infertility issues are women, one-third are men. And the other third is literally just like a mixture of the two, so just random misses.
Yeah.
Very small.
Yeah.
Very
so small. It is not just women. So, and as men, I think, I didn't necessarily think about what it meant for him to have to deal with, you know, going into a clinic and producing.
Sure.
It's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, you know.
Honestly, I'm like, man, I'm a team player, man. I got to
I'm sure he had to talk to himself. Yeah.
Playing the offensive line prepared you
like
for being a team player.
Right. You know, here I am. And see, and even that affects your mental health, because I remember telling him, look, you're doing the easiest part of this. So, you know.
But yet alone, like
what,
seeing
once
her
again,
struggle,
that's taking from his struggle, because he's watching me struggle. And so it's important that both of you are taken care of.
Right.
And a lot of times we couldn't do it for each other.
Mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Yeah, and we couldn't be that for each other.
And if you are struggling out there, call the NAMI helpline, 800-950-NAMI, or info@NAMI.org. for help in a crisis, or text NAMI to 741-741. Great stuff. Glad you guys talked about it. Let's spend a few minutes talking football with you, Chris.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No, that's no problem.
Obviously, you know, record-wise, it's been a disappointing start to the season. How good was it to get the bye this week ahead of this task you got to face this Sunday with the New England Patriots?
I think this bye week helped out tremendously. I think for a lot of the guys, it has gotten them to another mindset to really think about the rest of the season along the way. We do have a big time schedule, man. You know, upcoming this week is a big time match. You know, on Sunday at 4:25, we're playing the Patriots. So, just having that bye week just to get their mind right and then your body as well on the track of like thinking like, man, 10 more weeks of good football, man. That's how we got to think about it. One game at a time, and you can't think ahead too much, man. You got to anticipate on that one game and make sure you're taking care of business on that Sunday. Focus on that moment for those 4 hours. Play that game as your best. You know what I mean. So that's what we got to think about along the way of the season. The 10 weeks that we got to focus in on that.
Watch that game last night.
I did. I really did. And you know, good.
They look defense, man.
Their defense plays well together, man. Yeah. That's really what keeps that team together, man. You know, you just see them and Brady as well, but just the defense is everywhere. You know what I mean. You got McCourty. You got the defensive line. Everybody's playing sound football.
I want to talk about, no offense, Chris, my favorite player on the Browns, and that's Nick Chubb.
Oh, that's my favorite player. That's my favorite player, too.
He is. Better be. We love Nick Chubb. Yeah. Such a stud. He is leading the NFL in rushing yards since week 5 of last year. I don't know if you knew that.
That doesn't surprise me.
Doesn't surprise me either, right? He never does. It doesn't seem like he talks too much. He seems like the most humble guy on the face of the earth. Maybe in the locker room he's not. I don't know.
You know,
he is
crazy.
Such a special player. What makes him so great?
What makes him so great? Because he's so dedicated. He's humble. He's a humble guy. He takes on. He works his butt off, man. Like if you can see him work every day, it's the same guy every single day, and he's gonna give you his all every single day. And that's what you love in a player. And like when I can get him to laugh and joke, and when we in that huddle together, he's like, all right, Hub. Or something
he laughs.
Like that. Like, yeah,
he actually laughs.
Like,
he has a personality.
It was one play that we played the Ravens, and he was like, "Oh, my bad, Hub. That was my read. I missed that." You know what I mean? Like things like that. You see a young player to take and progress like that, man.
Yeah.
It's simply amazing from year one to year two to make that jump.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like you said, like his rushing yards, it doesn't surprise me because he put in the work.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So that's how he is, and I love the heck out of him.
Let's talk about this OBJ fine. What, does everybody get fined? I mean,
we're trying to do the work to see if he's the only one getting fined for this stuff.
If he's the only one getting fined,
I think like he's just getting fined just because. Sometimes
it's
like,
weird.
It is weird. Like you find the man for the the thigh pass or the knee pass or whatever.
His pants were too short. That was the problem.
Too short.
Like, but everybody is.
Everybody in the NFL is like that, man. Like I mean. You're worried about the wrong things. Like, honestly, you're worried about the wrong things. I feel like we should just play football and not worry about the fines because you're taking the man money out of his pocket.
Yeah.
But he played, like, just leave that alone and keep going.
What's he like in the huddle?
Electrifying, man.
Is he?
Yeah. He brings that energy. It's like that silent energy. You know what I mean? Like, that he's going to make a big play at any time. Him and Jarvis, the same way. Like, you just feel like at any moment it can go yard. So, like, when we played the Jets and Baker threw that slant route to him, I was like, man, nobody else in sight. Like, that's house. That's what you feel every single play when you're in that huddle with that group.
We're talking with Chris Hubbard and Tamara Hubbard, his wife, and we're here and we're talking about – we were talking a lot last segment. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, during the break, we're talking about soul food.
That's true. And I was asking if you can get any good soul food
Southern
in
food
Cleveland.
And Alabama and Georgia. And you said you found some couple of good spots here in, in Cleveland, right?
It's harder,
chicken
right?
and waffle spot?
Oh, chicken and waffles. Chicago chicken and waffles.
I've
you
not
haven't
had
been
it.
There. Go there.
It's legit.
It's really good. It's really good. It's really good.
I'm talking about you. To a couple of parties.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Cleveland is best more for like steaks and burgers and like
we know
that kind of food, right?
We know.
You're right. Because we love
a lot of burger joints.
Every week we're in a good
You guys foodies?
We are.
He is.
We are.
I don't really I love food, but not food. Okay. If foodies like try anything.
That's right.
Like, I'll try anything.
I like what I like, and I'm eating a whole lot.
But it, are there things, Chris, that you can eat during the season or no? In moderation, you eat anything?
I try to stick to.
Your wife's shaking her head.
I try to stick away from.
He's probably one of the lucky ones. He's one of the ones that has to gain weight.
But I try to stay away from fried food like that.
A lot of linemen, you're either one of two types of person. Like you either need to eat weight to stay heavy, so you can play on the line. Like you'd be a tight end.
I can eat so much.
Some guys who just if they could go to 400, 500 pounds, they just balloon up.
Yeah, but that's not me. Like,
you're not playing, you're going to drop.
You're going to look like Joe Thomas, right?
Yeah, probably.
He looks like a tight end now.
Yeah. Straight it up.
That could happen pretty easily. In the offseason, if he's not, like, bulking,
I'm losing.
He'll drop 30 pounds easily.
Yeah.
And then I've got to put it back on before training camp.
I mean, unfortunately for him, he has to eat so much.
Like, six times a day.
You have to eat six times a day?
Six times a day. Not the small ones. So, like,
snacks in between, though.
So, I mean, like 5,000 calories or what? Or more?
Probably more.
6,000?
Yeah, because I have burned so much. Like, I'm burning calories right now just sitting here. Like, I'm literally sweating.
Literally, like, 8 pounds in practice one day.
Man.
They weigh them before and after, and I just couldn't believe it.
It's amazing how much weight you lose on this job, man.
I guess it's not that surprising. I mean, you guys are working hard, especially, like, in training camp. You're in the boy. What was that experience? What's the experience been like in training camp with the fans? This year, obviously, there was so much excitement and enthusiasm. What was that? What's that been like for you?
That's been amazing. Just to see how great of a turnout it was this past year. It was amazing to see how the crowd was there every day, cheering us on. You know, just giving that energy that we need through the day, because some days, you know, like coming out there on the field, you're like, man, it's another day. I know the crowd's here. Man, you know, you got to just turn on that switch. So just seeing the crowd there, man, and just seeing them come into the stadium, that's it's amazing.
What do you think about the start of the season? 2-4, not where anybody thought you guys would be. Although, if you're 3-3, you'd feel a heck of a lot better, and everyone would be probably okay with the start because you had some tough opponents. How's the team responded to it? I mean, going into the bye week, it was such a disappointing loss to Seattle when it was a game that you guys had dominated for the majority of the first half, and you lose. Where's the mindset of the team in focus right now?
The mindset right now is like we're 0-0 right now. So we're starting over in a new season. And we talked about this before we left. We were like, man, we need to turn a new leaf and set the foundation. And we had a great week of preparation that week we played the Seahawks. And I saw a whole different transformation from the group of guys that our guys. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to do that along the way, and we need to, because I know the city wants us to win, and we want to win as well as anything else. So we're going to do our job to continue to get better and make sure that we're going to win these games.
Freddie Kitchens yesterday alluded to the fact of a possible change on the offensive line. Obviously, it's been a lot of – I think the I've said that I think the O-line's been overly criticized. You know, obviously, you're going to be critical. There's been some problems at times, no doubt. But, you know, I thought you guys played well as a group against Seattle. I thought you played well as a group against Baltimore. San Francisco, you know, it was a struggle, obviously, that game. But I'm not obviously not asking you to break news about what the change is going to be. But he did talk about, you know, some other guys, some of the backups, you know, getting some first-team reps. What could we see a new O-line on Sunday?
My guess is as best as yours. Like I'm literally in there every day. My guys are we're constantly working throughout the week, and that's what you see: a different guys rotate in just to get the reps, because you never know what may happen. Yeah. So that's an every week thing. So as far as who's going to play here and there, I have no idea. Yeah. I'm just going to continue to work and make sure the guy next to me is going to continue to work.
Is it harder for you? Last year you're playing with Kevin Zeitler. Been in the league forever.
Yeah.
Longer than you have, right? He's a proven player. This year you're playing with a guy who's been in the league a little bit, but he hasn't played that much. He's a lot less experience. How does that make your job harder that the guy next to you has less experience, or do you just got to do your thing no matter what?
And we just got to play no matter what, man. Right. That has no factor to how many years, how many experience. The thing is just, can you get the job done? That's it. You know what I mean? So, what takes place is that we got to work on the same agenda as a unit. That's how O-line plays. That's how the O-line works together.
Right.
If one person mess up, then it's on all of us. So we got to continue to do that. Got to continue to get better. And like I said, no matter who's beside me or wherever, man, we just got to continue to be on the same page.
You know, this year Baker looks a little different. I think he'll bounce back. I think he's supremely talented and just kind of got off to a little bit of a rocky start here. I don't think it affects him. Like, he throws a lot of picks. He's thrown a lot of picks this year, I should say. How have you seen him respond, like, in practice and everything? Like, I'm guessing you're gonna say that he's just fine.
The guy comes to work, man. Like, literally, he's like, every time he's in the huddle, he's like, all right, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, let's turn this page. Let's go. No matter what may happen, the last play, let's go. You know what I mean? That's his attitude. Mm-hmm. And when you have a young quarterback like that, no matter what's going around him, he's going to continue to have that same energy. And he's always been that way. And that's what you love about that guy, man. He's playing his heart out, man, no matter what.
Chris, I know you're on the other, you know, you didn't play against him, but I'm curious, like, what the Ravens are doing here. You guys played great against them, and Lamar Jackson did not have a good game against you guys. But we were talking about this yesterday because they obviously had an impressive win over Seattle. And, I don't know if you watched that game, but you know, they're doing something that we've not seen regularly in the NFL. They are fully committed to a quarterback who has a good arm, but is also a massive weapon with his legs. I mean, he is, we've never really, like, you know, Michael Vick a little bit, and we saw Colin Kaepernick for a brief time before he got blackballed by the league.
Yeah.
You know, but what Lamar Jackson, and again, he's got to do it longer. He's got to prove he can stay healthy. That was an issue for RG3. But he seems to do a good job of sliding, not taking as many hits. As a football player, what do you think of what the Ravens are doing, Lamar Jackson in particular? I'm curious.
I think the play calling, man, what they're calling for him is it's in a way that he understands and he knows that he has to get the ball out. If not, he can use his legs to get a first down or a touchdown. That's a dual threat. You know what I mean? He could throw the long ball. He could throw the short ball. Like, you see a guy like that every so often. And when you do have a guy like that in this league, it's electrifying. You see that every Sunday, and he can make plays like that. It's fascinating. That's what people love to see. That's what the NFL loves, you know, to see.
Chris Hubbard's with us in studio, and his wife, of course. Chris, how's Freddie doing as a coach? It's a big change now for going from
a lot of pressure,
a position coach to a coordinator for 8 games, and now a head coach, first time head coach ever.
Yeah, he's doing good. I think he's handled everything pretty well. You know, every day he's always that same person, always bringing that same energy as well. He hasn't steered away from what he has to do and what he's going to do in the years to come and right now. You know what I mean? So. To me, he's always been good to me, man. That's my guy. He's always been that Southern. See, that's why we can relate, because that Southern twang, you know what I mean? So like, I get where he's going. I get his jokes. I get everything that he's doing.
Right.
And I love him, man. I love him like one of those guys, like my brother. You know, I love him. So,
you know, I don't know if you guys, and I'll ask both of you this. I don't know if you've decided this yet or not, but, you know, we were talking before about mental health. There's been a lot of discussion about concussions in football. You have a 3-year-old child. Have you thought about yet whether you want your kid to play football or will you let him play football?
From the very beginning, when we found out it was a boy, Chris said no football.
Wow.
It's not happening.
Okay.
Creed was born, and we put every ball in his hand except for football, and he played football with it. So, I mean, even now, he – at 3, he tries to run routes. He does drills in the house. He has us introducing him as the quarterback. Sometimes he's a quarterback, running back, a center. You never know.
Yeah.
But, if it was up to me, I would want him to play. When he's older. I just feel like I love the idea of Little League, just because it does build character. It gives them, an team, because I think now seeing him in the NFL and even in college, how big of a deal it is that they have that camaraderie,
right?
And how much they learn from being on a team. I mean, of course, I'd prefer that it be baseball or basketball. Talking about what
basketball's
not it. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, he loves it. I
Plus
mean,
guaranteed
I,
contracts in baseball and basketball.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, you know, give the kid a baseball. That's the first thing I bought, right? Yeah. But
is he a lefty? Can he pitch?
Actually,
he can
do both. He can do both. Yeah.
Look at that.
And I know nothing about anything, but everybody that sees him is like, oh, he's a left-handed something they call
left-handed
it. I don't know.
Pitcher but, or left-handed
yeah,
quarterback.
He,
yeah.
But either way. He can throw either with arm, he can bat with either.
Right.
But he's football all day, every day. And he just figured out this year that Chris plays football. So that changed the game.
Yeah, right. He's like, football daddy?
Yeah, he calls him, I'm like, as if there's another daddy. But he used to just be so passionate about it. I have people laugh at the videos from last year when we would go to games, and he would literally cry when they came
out
the tunnel.
Right,
he'd be screaming and crying because he was so passionate about it.
Yeah.
Now that he knows that it's Chris out there, he's like, he screams, football daddy, over and over. And every morning he wakes up, he's like, daddy football, daddy work? That's his question. So
he knows.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
He's aware, man, with everything that's going on.
He goes to the facility, so.
Oh, yeah. He goes to the facility
and works
sometimes.
And then apparently.
And when he's 5 or 6, then he's going to realize you're famous.
I know.
And then that's going to be,
That's going to be cute because he has no idea.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Guys, we appreciate you both joining us and spending the time with us. Again, if folks, you know, are dealing with fertility issues, if they're dealing with mental health issues, they should reach out.
Of course.
Right?
That's the message. Please reach out to me. I always, I want to be open for women going through it because I'm not a man. I don't know what he went through. I'm sure he's fine with men who are going through it talking to him. Mm-hmm. But I know what it's like. So you can find me on Instagram. I'll spell this slowly. It's actually my two middle names. It's Malaika_Nicole. That's MALAICA_NICHOLE. But we are always in contact with therapists. We can get you help. If not, then if you just need somebody. For me, a lot of times I just wanted to scream, you know, and vent to somebody who gets it.
Right.
Write me. You know, start there, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So I just want to give it a voice, I think. So for me, that's what's big. Of course, with NAMI, we've had so much support. So what we can't do, we'll find help.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
They have so many resources, NAMI does. Yeah. And it's easily to contact them no matter what time it is or anything what's going on. Just contact them.
Yeah. Again, the number is 800-950-NAMI. Give him a call. By the way, one last thing I wanted to ask you. What about this person that punched Myles Garrett?
Ooh.
What was that guy thinking?
I have no idea. He wasn't thinking
no,
at all.
No, he definitely was not.
That's
the last guy I'd want to mess with.
Man, you seen that guy?
I mean, he's...
Literally, he's freaking, looked like a gladiator out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. I call him a transformer.
In training camp, he walks around in training camp with no shirt all the time.
Well,
like,
I would too.
Look at this guy's body. He's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. But I know I would get punched in the face by my wife, but I won't. Like,
But I mean, but you know what? He's the. It sounds crazy, but he's the one that would get hit because he does not care.
No,
he's just really good at what he does, and you can get angry if you want, but he's just gonna be a great player.
Yeah,
and that is who he is.
Yeah,
he's so calm and
always.
And he just has. He's so level headed.
Yeah.
I guess if it's gonna be
somebody else that would tally back,
right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know
like
why
that,
you would hit a man of that size, but
no,
just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Lucky just leave for him. You, he has a pretty good temper.
We appreciate your time, guys.
Yeah,
thank you so much for joining us.